This is news from Aspen Public Radio. I'm Zoe Rome. Last year, the Trump administration reduced the size of Bears Ears National Monument by 85%. Now, the federal government is taking public comment on a draft management plan for the monument. Thursday is the last day for feedback. To learn more about the implications of the proposed change, Elizabeth Stewart Severy spoke with former press officer for the White River National Forest, Bill Kite. Kite recently retired from nearly 40 years in land management and has also worked as an archaeologist.
Bill, can you explain your connection to Bears Ears? You've spent a lot of time on that landscape, I understand.
I have off and on over the years visited a lot of places there. I fought fire there, and I know the stories that come from there, and I respect the Native people I've worked with and their representatives to tell me if that area needs to be preserved. And I see it with my own eyes. The places that we are drawn to, we're drawn to for a reason. And the freedom of that part of Utah, the sacredness of it, the ability to read the geography and understand that place is special, and that the public deserves to have it protected to the utmost possibility.
Can you describe what is protected in Bears Ears National Monument and why?
Well, what is not protected in the current, what I consider to be illegal, Bears Ears National Monument, which doesn't even protect Bears Ears, are thousands of the sites. The original protection was a compromise between the 1.9 million acres that the tribal groups wanted and the 1.35 million acres that the Obama administration settled for. And so that, to me, is the lowest amount. To reduce it down to 85% of what it was is just criminal, as far as I'm concerned.
As you mentioned, the Antiquities Act gives presidents the authority to protect the, quote, smallest area compatible. And there certainly has been conflict in understanding what that means. Can you speak to, in your experience as a public servant, as somebody who's worked in public land management for a long time, how should we figure out that smallest area compatible?
Well, it was already figured out by President Obama, because he didn't set aside all the acreage that the tribes had recommended. And so as a result, that was a part of compromise. And compromise always gets things done. And so we had a national monument that the Native people who had requested it and had worked for 80 years to try to get Congress to set aside that area, they saw it as a partial victory. And the fact that it was a partial victory meant there are a lot of people worked on that. So much work went into that that I trust, having worked with those people, that the smallest area possible was what was set aside by Obama.
In this most recent part of the process, there has been criticism saying that it's excluded meaningful input from the tribes. What kind of input should the tribes have right now?
It should be treated as any government-to-government relation is authentic would treat them, which is as a sovereign nation in government-to-government relationship. That's not what I saw in the draft documents. They're treating them just like another stakeholder. They're not adhering to the original provision for creating a tribal council of the five tribes representative. It's been narrowed down to only two representatives. And so it's just one thing after another that gets whittled down. To diminish the role of the ancient people who live there by reducing their input in any way from what was promised them through that proclamation is, to me, criminal, just another broken treaty.
I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit to this public process that we're in the middle of now, that's about to wrap up on Thursday.
Yes. The public process is often long and drawn out. And under this present administration, it's been compressed and compromised. And I don't feel that there was adequate public representation. It's such a short time frame that they started this whole thing. They want it done in a certain very compressed time frame.
That was Bill Kite, who retired from work with the White River National Forest in 2016. The deadline to comment on the draft management plan is Thursday.